I thought I was done last week a little bit, but I felt the Lord drop this Mother's Day message and tied it in with Break the Curse, so I couldn't resist. All right, Breaking the Curse, and we're going to look today at something special about generational blessing. Remember we looked at generational curses and what they were all about and how they affected families? Well, today we're going to look at the opposite side of the coin. And we're going to look at it from the perspective of what we can do as families to have the generational blessing. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a big event going on yesterday. Not as big as Mother's Day, right? Citywide garage sales, right? How many participated in that event? I know a few of you did, yeah. My wife loves them. And with that being said, how many people here are used to hand-me-down clothes? I think we all are, right? We've had them. Now, I'm not talking about the good stuff, though, that you find at a garage sale from a stranger. I mean, that's the primo stuff, right? I'm talking about stuff maybe you've had from siblings. Has anybody ever had to wear something that was passed down? I was the oldest in my family, so that didn't really happen to me, and I'm the only boy, so I didn't really pass down a lot of stuff to my sisters as far as clothing goes. But I passed down a few bruises probably growing up, which wasn't right, but I repented of that. So I'm talking today about that stuff, that we get as a hand-me-down, and we're going to look at that from hand-me-down faith. Hand-me-down faith and how important it is, because sometimes when we look at that, we can maybe get the wrong picture. Now, I know that we can't get to heaven on our grandma's faith, right? We can't get there. But, you know, I know a lot of kids have told me that, oh, my grandma's a good Christian. My grandma's a good Christian, you know, and stuff. And, you know, that's all fine and dandy, but I say, what about you? You know, and we can't get there on their faith. But, on the other hand, if we can learn some things from our grandmas and things like this, you know, I think we can wear it as our own. You know, when you got them hand-me-down clothes and you put them on, I mean, you could resent it, or you could just wear them and say, hey, this is mine now. You know, that's the benefit of getting some of that stuff at a garage sale. It's new to you, right? You know, fill your closet with it. You know, I told my wife, you know, hey, no more short sleeve shirts. You know, I don't need any more, right? And, you know, but you don't listen all the time now, do you? I mean, this is a oh, it looks so good, and it was only 50 cents, you know, or whatever. And then I, you know, my closet's so full. Nothing frustrates me. This is my own personal problem. I got to deal with this. But I hate having to get into a closet where everything's just all scrunched. You know, this bothers me. That's my own personal problem. I got to deal with it or get rid of stuff. But then, you know, I know it just fill back up again, so amen. So that hand-me-down faith that you learn. I still remember when my great-grandma told me her testimony. Now, one of my grandmas passed away when I was born, the year I was born, so I didn't know her, but her mom, she told me, I remember up there, because when I was young, I was very sensitive to the things of the Lord for whatever reason. And I remember my great-grandma telling me about the time she went down and she gave her heart to the Lord at a tent meeting. And I still remember that today. You know, and it made an impression on me. Even though I walked away from the things of God for a while, that imprint or that thing that she'd put inside of me, it did make a difference. And the scripture we're going to look at today is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandma Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it is in you as well." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for everything that you're doing in our lives. We thank you that you are a good God. And right now, Lord, I thank you for all the good things that you've given to each and every one of us. And Lord, we thank you for family and the heritage of faith that we have and the legacy that we live through the things of faith. And Lord, right now I yield to the gift you put inside of me. Lord, I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. My first point I want to look at today is what I alluded to in my introduction, is the concept that we need to have of generational blessing. Generational blessing on how that works. Because generational curses are true. I've watched them, I've observed them, I've lived some of them myself until I was able to break that curse in my life. But on the same hand, there's the other aspect of it which talks about generational blessing, where families who are into the things of God can inherit that blessing and be able to get with that flow. You know, I read something the other day. Andy Stanley is a well-known pastor in the United States today down in Georgia, and he's the son of Charles Stanley. And I showed my wife this, I believe, or I can't remember who I was talking to. But anyway, his father, Charles, is up in age now, but he's a very wise man in the things of God. And he says, there's sometimes I would just like to have somebody that's ahead of me in the things of faith and be able to bounce some things off of that I want to learn. And Andy, his son, looked at him and says, Dad, there is nobody ahead of you. And that was just the honor that he gave that to his father. And see, Andy Stanley, I don't believe he's where he is today, unless it's the fact that he inherited that blessing from his father and chose to take what his dad believed in and took it on his own, wore it, his hand-me-down faith, put it on himself, and then ran with it and made it even better. Now, this is talking here about, you know, Timothy. He was a young man. Paul had discipled him a little bit. And both mom and grandma here that it talks about were both Jews who had become Christians or followers of the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's where it talks about the heritage of faith and what it means to get into the things of God. Now, Timothy here by Paul, it was by letter that Paul was writing him, and he says, being reminded of the strong foundation that he was standing on. Because Timothy was going through some very difficult times in his ministry and the things that he was doing. Now, what's interesting to me that the Bible, you know, for lack of a better terms, usually women aren't mentioned as much as the men. It was a man's club to some degree. The man was the head of the house and led things. But here, Paul pulled out the names of two prominent Christian women. Not the men in that family, but the women. Now, the husbands of these, I know one of them was a Greek for sure, and I believe they probably were both Greeks. They were probably unsaved. So here these Jewish women who had married these Greeks had converted to Christ, and how difficult that would be. It was a very big step for a Jew to become a Christian, because you were turning your back, shall we say, on the things of God, of everything that they knew. And so it was a big, big commitment to do that. And then also they had to struggle with their husbands who weren't really into God. And I know there's a lot of women that struggle with that today. Their husbands aren't as into God as they are. But I just want to bless the mothers today and know that even if your spouse or mate or whatever is not into God as much as you are, you can make an impact and you can make a difference on your children, because these two ladies did. Timothy was a godly man. And he did a lot of great things for the Church of Jesus Christ. And he was going through a hard time like many young Christians do. He was a young pastor who had taken over the church of Ephesus. And there was a lot of attacks back in those days. You know, we think we live in attack here, but here the Christians were being persecuted. They were being put to death. You know, all these things, these attacks just kept coming against the church. And Timothy had taken on this church. He'd been appointed by Paul to lead this church. And the church was being persecuted. And many followers, many Christians in his congregation were falling away and going back into the old life because the persecution was too strong. And he was getting discouraged. And I think the hardest thing for a mother is to see, or any parent, is when their kids go through a hard time. It's very difficult to watch your children struggle and have to make some of the decisions, you know, that they do. But it's times like this, parents, I want to encourage you that we need to trust the foundation that we put in our children. We need to trust that foundation. Them two godly women had put a foundation in Timothy. And we know that Timothy was going to stand on that foundation as he continued in his faith as he led that church. Now, the blessing, the generational blessing that I was looking at here, it came because they had a sincere faith. Now, we live in a day, you know, has anybody know what carnal Christianity is? Maybe we haven't used that term in a while. But carnal Christianity is Christians who go through the motions, but they don't really have a sincere faith. And see, that's kind of what we have in our culture today. There's people that want to call themselves Christians, Oh, they buy the t-shirts by the boatload, amen? But you know, it's more than buying a t-shirt to be a Christian, isn't it? It's more than sharing something on Facebook that makes you a Christian, isn't it? You know, it's talking about that sincere faith. And that's what these women had, these godly women, because they kept it real, and that's really what we don't want to do. Now, the next point I want to see is the idea of show me. And this is where I believe it comes into the family. Now, I believe that there's a little bit of Missouri in all of us, right? The show me state. Now, be honest. How many here would rather be shown how to do something than just told how to do something? I mean, we've all done that. We told our kids what to do. But when we show them, it just seems like it works a little bit better. And as we do that, we start to build that relationship. And what happens sometimes is we get tied down with the do's and the don'ts and the wills and the won'ts, right? As a parent, it's hard. And you know, I know we have a lot of single parents, you know, single moms, you know, in our congregation that are dealing with all these things and having to maybe put some food on the table and having to do, you know, all these things. And then also they got to be both mom and dad. That's hard. And that's why we need God. That's why we need to make sure. Now, how many people have ever tried this method? All right, you go do this. One, two, three, right? You know, that works on little kids. But how many's raised the teenager? I've got up to 100 once, you know, before they finally move. I guess they got tired of hearing me count. No, I don't. I don't put up with that myself. That's when I break out the equalizer, you know, praise God. But there's a lot of people that do that, and it's hard. It's hard raising kids, especially if many of the things that we believe as Christians are getting undermined at school. They're getting undermined also by TV and by social media, all these things that we Christians believe in, and then it's getting unraveled. And then our kids, you know, come home and they say, "You don't have to tell me what to do." Say, "What?" You know, that ain't how it works, honey. You know, this is how it is. Eat my food, sleep in my bed, do what I say, right? And I'll show you how to do it. But see, being a parent is a hard task from time to time. And that's why we need God's grace in everything that we do. But to do that, we really need to lead by example. And this is something I know that I really kind of had witnessed in my own mom. You know, a lot of ways, how she would not exactly tell me what to do all the time, but she really showed me what to do. And that made a big impact on me. You know, there's a big difference in this world between information and application, right? You know, we all, you know, are informed or overly informed, but learning how to really do things. And one thing that I think is a lost art in our culture sometimes is the art of parenting. And to be a good parent and what that means. You know, we don't have to be like the world. And I think moms are really good at this because I think that my mom, you know, for the most part, she was a redhead. She can be a little fiery. But she was more patient. You know, moms as a rule are more patient than men. You know, I know there's some women wound pretty tight, glory to God. You know, but for the most part, I think they're more patient. I think they have that nurturing down, and they know how to love kids and to bring them in. You know, when kids usually get injured, now sometimes they'll come to the dad, but for the most part they'll go to their mom, won't they? You know, men have a problem sometimes is that we tell them to rub a little dirt on it or suck it up, right? I mean, that's my philosophy. You know, and I'm not the best parent, I know that. That's why my wife is a good balance for me. The kids like her, glory to God. So, you know, being a mom is so good because of the way that moms can really have that connection and that touch with their children is very powerful. Now, in this culture, sometimes there is some hard things that we have to deal with, and, you know, I just want to kind of throw these out that sometimes just being a drive-by parent isn't the best in the long run. You know, I believe that parents do need to be heavily involved in their children's education, in being able to teach them in the things of God. You know, we just don't need to drop our kids off at church and then expect us to work a miracle and then send them home. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we're good, but we're not that good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we need help at home. And it's important that we get that support from the parents. You know, I believe that in the 20 years I've been pastoring, or a little over, you know, I've learned a few things because I try to pay attention for the most part. You know, parents who attend church with their kids have a greater success rate of their children becoming strong Christian parents themselves. I've witnessed that. I've seen it. And I see how important that is. Now, I don't know about you, I want my kids to be successful. I don't want my kids to have financial lack. I want them to get good jobs. But I do know this, I want my kids to go to heaven. And that's important. That's the most thing. You know, so many times we get caught up in the things of this world that we try to push our kids out there to experience all these great things. We want them to be the best athlete and the best student and all these things. But I'll be honest, the best thing you could ever do is want your kid to be the best Christian he could ever be or she could ever be. Because that's what's going to be eternal. The fact that your kid became a doctor and then they die to go to hell isn't the best, is it? So that's why we need to have, you know, that constant hands-on training, teaching our children what it is to be a good Christian and how that works. Because as I've watched that in this 20 years, I have noticed that children who do not get the support at home, many of them fall away. Breaks my heart because you get attached to them. You know, as a pastor and my wife too, and we start to, you know, love on these kids, and we start with them when they're little, and then we see them, they grow up, and they grow up in the church, and then all of a sudden when they get to a certain age and to see them kind of walk away is very heartbreaking because we have feelings too. I know you don't think I do, but I do have some feelings every now and then as a man, and, you know, my temperament, you know, I'm pretty even keeled. I don't show a lot of emotion, but I do. It grieves my heart when I see some kids that I love fall away from God and not continue in the faith. I'm not saying they can't come back, but why roll the dice, people? Why roll the dice? Why not just choose to live it at home? You know, as growing up, I remember three commercials. I was thinking about this today. And, you know, two of them is not my illustration, but I just want to throw them out there. I think it's E.F. Hutton. Is that the one? When E.F. Hutton, I mean, it shows like a room, busy chatter. They're like at a party and, you know, everybody's just talking. It's just loud. But all of a sudden, two people are talking. And he says, my broker is E.F. Hutton. And then everything goes quiet. And they all look at him. Because when E.F. Hutton says something, you better listen to it. I remember that commercial. The second commercial that I remember is the one with the Native American Indian. And it went, you got to pitch in to clean up America. And it showed, you know, people throwing trash and stuff everywhere. And then the Indian was standing there. And I think maybe there's a little puddle of water or something going by. And there comes some trash floating by. And, you know, because, you know, America, this is their land. And it showed tears coming down his face. I mean, that's the second commercial. I mean, we remember commercials. Well, the third one is the one that I want us to think about today. And this commercial it showed a little boy and his dad. And as they were going out and they were doing things together, you know, the dad, you know, was, you know, he'd start cutting the grass and the little boy'd get out his plastic lawnmower. You know, he'd just follow dad. Whatever dad did, he did. And then dad was fixing something with a hammer and the little boy got out his plastic hammer. You know, don't be like my aunts did. They bought me a real hammer. You know what I'm saying? My parents still didn't forgive them for that. You know, I had a real hammer when I was a kid. And then the third thing, they was out there working on a car, and they were just kind of torquing on the car a little bit, and little boy had his little wrenches. Well, then finally, dad decided to take a little break, so he sat down, and he lit up a cigarette. And then it showed the little boy reaching over to grab the pack of cigarettes, and then it cut away with the message. I still remember that. Now, I'm not, you know, I don't believe smoking sends anybody to hell. I don't believe that. Some Christians may believe that. I don't. I don't believe that's a biblical truth. I believe if you want to smoke, you can. But I will say this, Smoking will never send you to hell, but I believe you might see Jesus quicker than you were supposed to. Amen? And I think that's the truth. Right? So, something to think about. But it showed just how kids are impressionable. And they're watching us. And they want to be just like us. And that's kind of awesome. Sometimes. Well, lastly, I want to look at the idea of a lasting legacy. You know, being a family that is remembered for something. And I do think that, as we all could probably remember, when you mention a family name, you think of something, right? Be honest. I mean, we do sometimes. And, you know, some kids, some families that with that name, they think sports. Maybe you think of a name and you think, well, that's a baseball family. You know, that's what they're remembered for. But think about this. One of them marries a clumsy nerd and that chain is broken, isn't it? Right? Think about it. You know, here there are all these star athletes and then all of a sudden one of them falls in love with a nerd that can't even pick up a ball and throw it the right direction. And that family chain is broken right there. And some people are known for being real good artists and being able to make things with their hands and, you know, they're just so talented. Well, if they end up marrying into my gene pool, that's over. It's broken. You know, most of my kids, I mean, we're all halfway decent. We can hardly write our name and make it legible. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she's very artsy. You may not have known that, but she's very creative. So if you do marry into our family, and we are needing three kids married off, so if you want to line anybody up, you're an artsy bunch, there is a chance, genetically, that there could be some artsy kids come out of that. But don't count on it. Amen? But one chain that can never be broken is a spiritual chain by the natural things. You can marry into any family with different abilities and traits, but if you keep that spiritual chain going, it can be in the artsy group, it can be in the athletic group, it can be in any group there is. And that's how important that spiritual chain is that we have to follow, because that gene pool can't break it because it's a spiritual thing. Now, faithfulness, what I found out, is the only constant in that chain. Being faithful. Being faithful to the things of God and living out our faith. And having kids watch that. I know they go through their teenage years and some of them seem a little bit, you know, different from time to time. That kid you knew your whole life, as they grow up to a certain age, they may change. That's okay. I mean, just keep loving on them. Keep showing them. Showing them your faith. Showing them how important it is. Because I really feel that whatever we think is important, the kids will feel is important. And as we keep those links connected, you know, there always is a weakest link. You can get a biggest log chain, but if you put a little small link in between and you hook it up to something heavy, the weakest link is going to break. And what I want to challenge us today is to decide today that as a parent, that you don't want to be the weakest link. You don't want to be that weak link in the gene pool. You don't want to break that trait that was coming down. I'll be honest, people, them kids tell me all kinds of things on the van. Now, we have a rule. Whatever happens on the van stays in the van. But I'm going to tell you one thing that really has impacted me with all the ministry we've done to kids. And these, one time we was talking, and, you know, some of the kids, they like to brag on things. And, yeah, my grandma, she's spiritual. Woo. She just prays. You know, my grandma this, my grandma that. And I listened for a while, and I wanted to change the subject. So I said, what about your mom? What about your mom? Oh, she don't go to church. She don't believe in God. Oh, what happened? What happened to break that link? What happened to her life that broke that link and that caused her to fall away from God in a way that she doesn't really want to serve the King of Kings anymore? So it's something to pray about. So what I've listened to and what I've learned is that, you know, don't just have your kids talk about grandma's faith, but have them talk about your faith. Have them talk about your faith. Now, this is, I want you to wear this. I want you to own this right now. Decide to be a godly mother in an ungodly world. Because you're a hero. That's your superhero power. Being a godly mother in an ungodly world. And if you do that, you're going to have a legacy that you can pass down to your kids, because your kids are watching. They're watching us, everything that we do. And if we're consistent in our walk, then we're going to start to be able to see that fruit start to manifest. Because, you know, what our kids see that is important to us, it will become important to them. In closing, I just want to say, being a mom isn't easy in the world that we live in today. And again, I just want to encourage you to be a godly mom in an ungodly world. Choose to give your children some of that hand-me-down faith and encourage them to make it new to them. Renew your commitment by bringing that generational blessing. And I'll tell you what, that generational blessing, of like we talked about last week, of how we can get in the flow of God and start to get in that, and then the blessings of God are going to chase us down. Let's pray.